Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
I for president. You like Ike. I like Ike. Everybody likes Ike.
For president.
Hang out the banner, beat the drum. We'll take Ike to Washington.
We don't want John
or Dean
or Harry.
Let's do that big job right. Just get in step with the guy that's left. Get in step with Ike. You like Ike.
Day player and for Steve Cochran on this beautiful Labor Day morning here on 720 WGN. So in a media-saturated environment in which news, opinions, and entertainment surround us all day, on our television sets, our computers, our smartphones, the television commercial remains the one area where presidential candidates have complete control over their images. Television commercials use all the tools of fiction filmmaking, including script, visuals, editing, and performance, to distill a candidate's major campaign themes into just a few powerful images. The LivingRoomCandidate.org contains more than 300 commercials from every presidential election since 1952. And joining us to talk about the history of the presidential advertising and how it affects our presidential elections in America is David Schwartz. He's a chief curator for the Museum of the Moving Image in New York. Good morning, David.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Thank you for joining us this morning. It's a fascinating website and review of what we've seen over the past six decades. Going through and pulling all 300 of these spots together must have been quite a daunting task for you.
It was fun. It's a little bit addictive, I think, to once you start watching these commercials. They're a lot of fun, and they're important little time capsules of what was going on at each of the election years.
Now, it has changed, obviously, so much, even when the invention of radio came. But, you know, I remember Harry Truman reading this about Harry Truman. He was so proud of accomplishing the shaking a half a million hands, covering 31,000 miles. And that really was impactful at the time in 1948. But 1952, the presidential election saw a major change in how candidates reached their audiences with the advent of television. And this Eisenhower campaign were 40 20-second television spots entitled Eisenhower Answers America, where he was talking to the citizens of America.
Yeah, well, by 1952, you had about 20 million households in the country with television sets. You know, back in 1948, there were just a few hundred thousand. So that was a big change. Television had really taken off. And there was a Madison Avenue ad executive named Rawson Reeves who was most famous for doing M&M commercials, melts in your mouth, not in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And he convinced the Eisenhower campaign to spend money buying short TV commercial time, and they reached a lot of people that way. So, you know, now we hear about all the money being raised for campaigns, hundreds of millions of dollars and billions of dollars, and most of that money is going to TV advertising.
Absolutely.
You know, although, of course, as we know, this year is a little different.
Yeah, just a little bit, and we'll definitely talk about that. But you know, this first election, you know, I was looking at, you know, 1952, President Truman entered, his popularity was plummeting, the Korean War was dragging into its third year, Senator Joseph McCarthy's anti-communist crusade was stirring public fears. There was a lot going on at that time, and so, you know, what had to happen between Eisenhower and Stevenson is that they really had to define themselves in this election, and the way to do it at that time was the growing popularity of television.
Well, I came up with he had a very simple message. You know, one of the things about these commercials is that they're short, so he basically focused on the war in Korea, the high cost of living, and corruption that was going on in Washington. And those were the themes. The other theme was and this is a theme that runs throughout many of the campaigns, was this idea of the outsider, the person who's going to come into Washington and clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's a Republican candidate like Eisenhower or Reagan presented himself that way.
Yeah.
And then there were the Democratic equivalents of the outsiders, like Jimmy Carter, even Bill Clinton, Barack Obama. Use the same kind of message.
That's what Donald Trump is saying, too. So, I mean, we're still seeing that today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you always have that. You always have this idea that Washington doesn't work. You need somebody to come fix it. So, you know, the commercials do change. Like, that was a jingle from the 50s you were playing at the beginning. that the style of the ads changes, but very often you find the same messages over and over again in every election year.
Good morning, David. Dave Schwann here from WGN Radio News. You mentioned the fact that these theme or these commercials have a certain theme to them, and I remember when George H.W. Bush ran against Reagan in 1980, his campaign slogan was, he is a president, we won't have to train, which was kind of a taking a shot at President Carter, who was kind of an unknown and came in 1976. But, you know, it's like the more things change, the more they stay the same. These themes, if you, you know, think about
so
it,
true.
There's a parallel between, you know, the commercials from even 50 years ago and more and what we're seeing today.
Well, right. I just, you know, one thing interesting about this year is that Donald Trump has been releasing very few commercials. He's relying on new forms of media, like social media, and of course, using free time on television news. But he just released a commercial which has a very old Republican message. There's a lot of Republican ads throughout history that say that the Democrats are going to raise your taxes. You know, that's a common message. And that was the theme of the latest Donald Trump ad. And it was very similar. There was a Reagan versus Mondale ad that's where Reagan said Mondale-nomics was raise taxes and Reagan's going to cut your taxes and create new jobs. And that's exactly the same message of the Donald Trump ad that just went on the airs, on the airways. Hillary Clinton's ads, you know, she's using a message basically saying, you know, it's a risk to elect the other guy, you know, that we should be afraid of him. And that is a theme that goes back to the Daisy Girl commercial from 1964, you know, which basically said that if you vote for Barry Goldwater, the world could come to an end.
Wasn't that ad pulled after a couple of airings?
It actually only aired once. It was a great commercial that's on our website, of course, and it's as a little girl is picking petals off a daisy,
and then you cut
from that to a nuclear explosion.
Yeah.
And that was an effective use of children. That's another thing that we noticed in a lot of the most effective commercials use children because they strike an emotional chord. And so there was an effective Hillary Clinton commercial earlier in this campaign with children watching clips of Donald Trump's speeches on television.
This is a man whose time has come, a strong leader with a proven record. In 1966, answering the call of his party, Ronald Reagan was elected governor of California, next to president, the biggest job in the nation. What the new governor inherited was a state of crisis. California was faced with a $194 million deficit and was spending $1 million a day more than it was taking in. The state was on the brink of bankruptcy. Governor Reagan became the greatest tax reformer in the state's history. When Governor Reagan left office, the $194 million deficit had been transformed into a $550 million surplus. The San Francisco Chronicle said, Governor Reagan has saved the state from bankruptcy. The time is now for strong leadership. Reagan for president.
Dave Plyer in for Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. We are talking to David Schwartz. He's the chief curator for the Museum of the Moving Image and an online exhibit that is just fascinating called The Living Room Candidate. And you can find that at thelivingroomcandidate.org. We're talking a little bit off air about 1976 and 1980. Obviously, 1976, after Nixon, after Ford, that people wanted to change with Carter, but then in 1980, that change theme continued, obviously, because in 1980, they couldn't get rid of Carter fast enough.
Well, I think, you know, the key objective for the Reagan campaign that year was to show that he was presidential. You know, we hear that word a lot these days, but he was an actor. You know, he was, in addition to being a governor, he had made his name as a movie actor. So they had to convey the idea that he should be taken seriously and that he could be a president. So of course he was governor of California. So that's what that ad focused on. And, you know, his commercials in that year were for the most part positive, except there was a great attack ad, featuring his wife, Nancy Reagan, which is my favorite commercial from that year, where she tears into Jimmy Carter over what she calls vacillating and weak foreign policy. So Reagan himself was not the attack dog in that year.
He put his wife out there.
Yes, and it was an effective way to do it.
You know, and I found it fascinating, too, that they said, well, the biggest job in America next to being the president is the governor of California. So it is all of the ways that these messages are communicated and maybe twisted around a little bit when they're trying to talk to the American people to make it sound a little, probably a little bit better than it actually is, you know?
Well, sure. That's what you can do with a commercial. You can basically, you know, control your message and say what you want. But usually these commercials do distill a campaign. I mean, that's what I think is so great about them. You can watch a 30-second commercial and get a sense of what the campaign is about. You know, we know that for Donald Trump, for example, this is to jump back to this year. The immigration theme is really important, and that message that the situation is dangerous and the border is out of control. And that was his first commercial. He's actually only run two commercials in the general election.
Which is amazing. I know.
The first one focused on immigration, which was what he talked about in his very first, his announcement of his campaign. So you get a good sense. And so we're updating we're following the race this year. So the website, the Living Room Candidate, has commercials from every election from 1952 through the present. And we're adding commercials as they come out this year. We're also doing a blog where we're looking not just at commercials, but other forms of media, you know, web videos and social media. You know, it's a new environment.
The 1992 campaign, I want to mention this, it was Clinton, Bush, and Perot. How did a third-party candidate really affect how the election on television ran?
Well, I mean, it just created an interesting dynamic especially during the debate. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of people watching the debates felt that Ross Perot was the winner of the first debate. And then I think Clinton, you know, clearly won the town hall style debate, you know, which was a forum that he did great in. So, you know, I mean, mainly there was dissatisfaction with George H.W. Bush because of the recession. And so, you know, Perot's entrance in the race mainly just took, you know, hurt Bush that year.
But the messaging is two people working against the existing president. And, of course, that does change people's minds when they see two different candidates knowing that one's got to go. You're almost down to Clinton and Perot at that point. Right.
But it really, yes, that's true. And then it became, the Clinton, these biographical commercials are very important. The Reagan one that you just played was really an ad that introduced Reagan to the public. And Clinton had a really effective biographical commercial. He had the good fortune of growing up in a town called Hope. And he, you know, had great commercials showing his, you know, his rise and his hard work. And there was footage of him as a young boy meeting John F. Kennedy. So it was a sort of combination of an inspirational message of hope, against the bad economic conditions. And he ran a campaign as an outsider, somebody who would come in from the South and come in and change things in Washington.
David, it's amazing what you have here. This is a true archive, and I'm really impressed by the fact that you have things going back to 1952. I'm rather surprised that some of those early ads even existed. Did you find these in various sources?
Presidential libraries.
There's a bunch of different archives. I mean, the best single source is the presidential libraries. So
they would have, each of these presidents would have something that would still be in existence for these.
Each of those libraries, held on to the videotapes, you know, the older format of videotapes. And so we went around to those libraries and, the Kennedy Library is a great collection, the Nixon Library, even, you know, there is all the winning presidents, all the winning candidates get their own libraries. If you lose an election, you don't get
one. You don't get a library.
There's a good point. Good point there.
Yeah, but we were able to round up the commercials. You know, we went to some of the candidates directly. You know, we went to the Dukakis. We went to Dukakis. Back when we were setting up the site, we originally did this site as a gallery exhibition at our museum in Astoria in New York. And then the internet, that was back in 1992. And then as the internet emerged, we realized this would be a great exhibition for the internet.
Well, again,
what's great about it, when people go on to the site, you can jump around, from one year to another.
Oh, it's absolutely fascinating.
Really,
yeah, it's
the fun part of it.
Absolutely fascinating. The livingroomcandidate.org. And this is David Schwartz. He's the chief curator for the Museum of the Moving Image and this exhibit. David, thank you so much. Enjoy your Labor Day, pal.
Thanks. You too. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Top stories and Janice Jackson. She's the chief education officer for Chicago Public Schools. She's joining us next on 720 WGN.